I think it's incredibly fitting that after focusing on a passage that had the glorious message that the gospel is good news for everyone, that we respond in worship with the song thanking Jesus. It's really, after all, only by Jesus' mercy and grace poured out on that cross that any of us has that chance of having a way to be reconciled to the Father, to be forgiven and washed clean, as we've read earlier in our series, to be grafted into the vine and to be adopted as sons and daughters of the King. Jesus, thank you. Yes and amen. You know, next Sunday is Baptism Sunday here at Finland. And as I read over the testimonies of those who are being baptized in preparation, I was reminded of my own story of coming to Jesus and the countless other stories of people that I've heard from or people that I know. And as I remembered these stories, it was evident to me that thankfulness to Jesus for what he has done for us is a common thread that all of our stories share. In my recollection of these stories, though, I was reminded of another key similarity, one shared by most, if not all, who have faith in their mouths and in their hearts, who submitted their lives to Jesus as the Lord and Savior. What is this common thread, you ask? Well, for that, we're going to return once again to Romans chapter 10. We'll pick up where we left off. And I'll read a little bit of overlap for context. The same Lord is Lord of all, bestowing his riches on all who call on him. For everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? And how are they to preach unless they are sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of those who preach the good news. But they have not all obeyed the gospel. For Isaiah says, Lord, who has believed what he has heard from us? So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ. Here in Romans 10, we see that common element that most every faith story shares. And it's the influence of beautiful feet. I apologize in advance to any of you who have podophobia or the intense fear of feet. This message might be a little difficult for you. But seriously, it seems that Paul is suggesting here that most, if not all, faith commitments can be traced back to what he calls the beautiful feet of another. In Paul's day, messengers often traveled by foot. And by the time they reached their destination, their bare or sandaled feet would undoubtedly be hot, sweaty, dirty, sandy, smelly, calloused, scarred. Do I need to go on? But to those who were waiting with anticipation for the message they carried, the arrival of these feet was a beautiful sight. One situation where this might take place would be in times of war, when loved ones were away in battle for long periods of time, and the very fate of nations hung in the balance. With no internet or telephones, no social media or news outlets, how were those back home supposed to know what was going on? In times like these, the arrival of a messenger carrying the good news that the enemy had been defeated and the battle was won would have been cause for great rejoicing. Here in Romans 10, Paul wants us to make the connection that this too is the role of messengers who carry the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ. We should have beautiful feet, figuratively speaking, quick to carry the good news that the enemy has been defeated, the enemy, that is, of sin, death, and brokenness. How then will they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how are they to believe in him of whom they have never heard? And how are they to hear without someone preaching? The good news, it seems, isn't meant to be experienced and then kept personal. Instead, the good news is a treasure to be found and then shared. Which begs the question, Do we have urgency and excitement in proportion to the importance of the message we carry? Do we commend the beauty of Jesus to those who don't know him, whether across the street or across the seas? As each of us who know and follow Jesus think back over our own stories of faith, I trust that the names and faces of the beautiful feet who shared the good news with you come quickly to your mind. Maybe it was a parent or a friend, a coworker, a Sunday school teacher, a pastor, or a mentor. Let me be clear before we go on. When Paul asks in verse 14 how others are to hear without someone preaching, I by no means think this means that each of you has to take a chance on stage here preaching a message. If so, we'd have to have a sign up in the community room, and I guarantee there'd be people trying to get the summer messages when we only have one service. But that's not the case. Not all of us are called to preach in the way we typically use that word. Instead, I believe this is a call that each of us would live out what we're commanded to do in 1 Peter 3. To always be ready to make a defense to anyone who asks us for a reason for the hope that is in us, with gentleness and respect. This is how we preach. This is what we're called to do in the places we live, work, study, and play. And this is ultimately how we live lives for the sake of his name. I ask you to consider, right now, in this very moment, whose were the beautiful feet that brought the good news to you? And how can you follow in their footsteps, sharing that which you've been given with others? Before we move into our final time of communal prayer and closing songs, we'd like to provide space for something we don't often get the chance to do in the busyness of our normal Sunday morning services. A space for personal prayer and reflection. A time for you to speak to God directly about anything you've been hearing that jumped out to you this morning in a song, in a scripture, in a meditation, or in a prayer. And a chance for God to speak to you. The worship team, some of them are going to begin playing some light music. And I remind you that the prayer room is open and staffed if you seek a brother or sister in Christ to pray alongside you for something specific that's been laid upon your heart this morning. Otherwise, I invite you to sit quietly and reflect on some of the questions we've considered, which I'm going to throw up on the screen. So a young child in your row who can't read, take the time to read that to them. They can pray too. The Holy Spirit can speak to all of us. We'll do 3 to 5 minutes of this. It might be uncomfortable, but that's okay. What is God trying to say to you this morning? And what might you need to say to God? Let's pray.